Thank you once again this evening for tuning in to our broadcast, and we trust that this will be the final broadcast before we're gathering again in the Lord's house. At least as far as the midweek meeting is concerned, we hope in the will of the Lord that next week we'll be able to gather in the house of God at the midweek service, and then the Lord's day after that, that Sunday week, that we'll be able to gather again in the house of God. Continue to pray even with regard to this. But this evening we're in John chapter 21. John chapter 21 for our Bible study. And then of course we would encourage you to take that little season even at home to seek the Lord in prayer. Of course, I know in your private prayers you'll be seeking the Lord daily, but even that extra little season before the Lord after listening to God's word this evening, when we would normally be gathering together in the house of God. It's John chapter 21, the final chapter of the Gospel of John. And in this chapter we have one of the appearances of the Lord Jesus to his apostles after his resurrection from the dead. And here in John chapter 21, and the opening verse we read, "After these things Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple, whom Jesus loved, saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring off the fish, which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Amen. We'll end the reading there at the verse 14, knowing the Lord will bless again the reading of his word to our hearts. We'll bow for a moment of prayer and ask the Lord to speak to us through his word this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank thee that once again we can bow before thee and draw near to the throne of grace in the name of the Lord Jesus, the one who is our great high priest, the one who has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, the one who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We pray this evening that thou wilt minister to your hearts through thy word. Bless your people, even as they consider your word and meditate upon it. Should there be those that will even tune in and watch the broadcast that are unconverted, that they might turn from sin, trust in Christ for salvation. Help us to be soul winners, even as your people in these days. I was saying in thy word, he that winneth souls is wise. We remember again those that have been grieved in very recent times, that they will know thy comfort and thy grace, which is sufficient. We pray for those that are laid aside, shut in various ways, and need a touch from thee, that thou will draw near to them. We pray for the salvation of the unsaved. Pray for the building up of your people. We pray for the restoration of the cold in heart. We pray that you'd intervene in our land and nation in the midst of this virus. And we pray that next week we'll be able to gather again in the house of God and assemble together. So, Lord, come, draw near to us. Give us a greater love for thee. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This chapter of John 21 opens with the words, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. Here we have another one of the occasions when the Lord Jesus came to the disciples after his resurrection from the dead, and of course before his ascension back into glory. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, we read that the Lord Jesus showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of his disciples 40 days. In other words, for a period of 40 days in between the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and his ascension back to heaven, he appeared to his people as the risen Christ. Now here in John 21, where we've read from this evening, in verse 14 it is said that this showing of the Lord Jesus to the disciples was the third time that he showed himself to them. That is, showing himself to his disciples as a group. And as we go through the Gospels, we can see how the Lord Jesus appeared after his resurrection. On that day in which he did arise from the dead, we learn that he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, there in the garden and there at the tomb, according to Mark 16 and the verse 6. He then appeared to the group of women who were travelling from the sepulchre, Matthew 28 and verse 9. His third appearance overall was to Peter, the first of the apostles to whom the Lord showed himself alive. You can read in Luke 24 and 34 and 1 Corinthians 15 and 5. Then the Lord appeared to the two on the Emmaus Road in Luke 24. That was, of course, toward the evening of that day in which he arose from the dead. And then also on that evening of that day, he appeared to the apostles gathered when, of course, Thomas was not with them. And we read of that in John 20. And then later in John 20, he appeared again to the disciples when Thomas was with them. And so here in John 21, with the third time he appeared to the apostles as a group. First of all, when Thomas was missing, then when Thomas was with them. And here again, although they're not all there, he appears to the apostles as a group. We read here in John 21 and 2 of Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, James and John, and two others who are not named. The place where this happens is at the Sea of Tiberias or Galilee. And we discover the disciples have been fishing. Of course, when the Lord had called Peter and Andrew way back at the beginning of his public ministry, in Matthew 4, 18 to 20, they had been casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And the Lord had said to them on that occasion, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. On that occasion, they had left their nets and followed him. And with this in mind, The fact they had been fishermen, but they were being called to be fishers of men. I want us to come to this portion in John 21, verses 1 to 14, and learn some lessons about winning souls. Because the preacher, the missionary, the Sunday school teacher, the children's worker, indeed every child of God is to seek to be a fisher of men and women and young people and boys and girls. We are to seek to be soul winners, for he that winneth souls is wise. And therefore, I want us to consider some lessons from this passage on soul winning. The first thing we note is that our soul winning endeavours often seem unsuccessful. Consider here in John 21 and the verse 3, when Simon Peter announced his intention, "I go a fishing," and the others said, "We also go with thee," and they go forth, they enter into a ship, a little boat immediately, and then it says, "And that night they caught nothing." Now, Simon Peter had been an experienced fisherman before the Lord called him. James and John, who are also here, they're the sons of Zebedee, they were experienced fishermen. Because when the Lord called them way back in Mark 1, 19 and 20, they were mending their nets. But despite the experience of at least three of these men, that night they caught nothing, as far as the ordinary fishing was concerned. It would have been most frustrating and disappointing for those men. For Simon Peter and James and John, they had been in a similar situation again way back at the beginning of the Lord's public ministry. If you care to look at Luke chapter 5, you will find that occasion in Luke 5. And the verse 5, where Simon Peter had answered something the Lord had said to him, and he said, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing." In Luke 5 and the verse 10, it says, "And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." So these three, James and John and Simon Peter, who are mentioned in John 21, are mentioned back there in Luke chapter 5. And just as the disciples here in John 21 had been involved in fishing and had been unsuccessful, and that they had caught nothing, and that had happened back in Luke chapter 5, so, when we consider the illustration with regard to fishing for men and women and boys and girls and young people seeking to be soul winners, often we toil and it seems we're unsuccessful. The preacher preaches, the child of God witnesses, the Sunday school teacher, the children's worker, the evangelist teaches the word of God. Literature is distributed. Broadcasts go out. And it's easy to become disheartened and discouraged because toil in seeking to win souls can go on for many days and months and indeed years. And sometimes it seems nothing is caught, or sometimes very few are caught. If we make use of this illustration, one commentator who was writing a little commentary on what happened here in John 21 and drawing this parallel, he wrote these words: "How painfully this common fact," the fact they had toiled all night and caught nothing, "foreshadows the labours of ministers," and we might say it also foreshadows the witness of all God's people. They toil all night and take nothing. They go forth, wakeful and weeping, and strive to win souls to Christ, and yet are compelled to return with the mournful complaint of Isaiah in chapter 53, verse 1, "Who hath believed our report?" Why, of course, we must thank God for those who have been saved as a result of witnessing, preaching, literature, our prayers. we're links in the chain as God's people, whether it's the preacher, whether it's the believer witnessing, the Sunday school teacher, we're links in the chain. The Lord uses each of us to bring souls to himself. And we're to be thankful for that. But at times when it seems there's very few souls being saved, we must not become absolutely disheartened. We must not become weary in well-doing. We must keep preaching, witnessing, praying, endeavouring to win souls. Because while to us at times our labours might seem unsuccessful, we don't always know what God is doing in the hearts of those for whom we have prayed, to whom we have witnessed, to whom we have preached. So we're seeing from this passage that our soul-winning endeavours often seem unsuccessful. Just like what was happening here for the apostles in their fishing, that night they caught nothing. But that leads into a second thought. It's only the Lord that can give success to our soul-winning endeavours. Here in John 21, having read in verse 3 that the apostles, they went forth, they entered into the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Then verse 4 says, but when the morning was now come. But. There's a but, because the situation was going to change. The Lord Jesus was on the shore. And of course, it's a worthwhile study to read through the Word of God and notice the times when it says, but God who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he has loved us. Morning had dawned here in John 21 as the disciples brought their little vessel toward the shore, and they saw a person standing on the shore watching them. And at first they were unaware that it was the Lord Jesus. And the Lord spoke, asking, children, have ye any meat, any food? To which they answered, no, they hadn't caught any fish. The Lord then directed them to cast their net on the right side of the boat and give them an assurance that they would find fish. They did as they were advised, and now they were not able to draw the net for the multitude of fishes. And once the Apostle John recognized that it was the Lord, he said that to Peter. Verse 7, therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. This was a miracle that had taken place. This multitude of fishes, after they had toiled all night and taken nothing. And maybe this happening took John in his mind back to what we read in Luke 5 of a similar situation. They toiled all night and taken nothing. The Lord had told them to put out the nets. And there was a great multitude of fishes. You see, the Lord had, during his ministry, showed himself to have power over the winds and the waves, and even over the fish in the sea. And as they obeyed the command of Christ, he gave them success. In a parallel fashion, we must always remember, it is only the Lord who can give success to our soul-winning endeavours. For salvation is of the Lord. As the preacher preaches, he does not have power to save souls. As the evangelist witnesses and preaches, as every child of God witnesses, as literature goes out, as broadcasts go out, we don't have the power to save souls. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, we're thankful that God is pleased to use each of us as his people, as instruments, signposts to the Savior. That's a great privilege. It's also a great responsibility. But we can't save souls. We don't want to pressurize people into making empty professions of faith. But on the other hand, we do want to emphasize the urgency of turning from sin and trusting in Christ for salvation. And we know from Proverbs 11 and 30 that he that winneth souls is wise. You know, using a different illustration to fishing for men, but with the same thought in mind, Paul, when he wrote to the church in Corinth, he reminded them that it's only the Lord that saves and gives success to a ministry or to any soul-winning endeavours on the part of God's people. Because in Corinth, of course, there was division and they were putting one preacher above another and so on. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in the verse 5, the Apostle Paul wrote this: who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. And he said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God give the increase. And you know, there is the planting of the seed as the word is preached, as Christians witness, Sunday school teachers teach. There is the watering of the seed as preaching continues and witnessing continues, and as prayer is offered up for the preaching of the word and the witnessing of God's people. But it's only the Lord who can save and thus give the increase. Therefore, we need the experience of the apostles in Mark 16 and 20, where it says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Read the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And as the apostles, the rest of God's people, went out in the power of the Holy Ghost, preaching and witnessing, oh, many souls were saved. And you know, remember, every time a soul is saved, whether it's a little boy or girl, a young person, an older person, a miracle takes place. It's the miracle of the new birth. It's God working in the heart, bringing that sinner to turn from sin and to trust in Christ for salvation. God can give success to our soul-winning endeavors for his glory. Therefore, be encouraged, child of God, to keep praying, witnessing, encouraging the unconverted to listen to the word preached, even to read the word of God for themselves. God chooses to use we as his people as those weak things that no flesh may glory in his presence. Let us pray then that the Lord would revive his work. We know he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And yes, there are times when he comes in revival to his church, and then there's a great spiritual awakening among the ungodly. Other times, it's the ones and twos that are being saved. Certainly, from our perspective in these days, there are not multitudes being saved, at least in our province or our nation. Oh, in other parts of the world, God may be gathering many into the kingdom. But still, we must keep on endeavouring to win souls. Keep on fishing for men and women, young people, boys and girls. Keep on sowing the seed. And as we conclude, there's just one final little thought from this passage. We've considered that our soul-winning endeavours, our fishing for men, often seems unsuccessful. We've considered that it's only the Lord can give success to our soul-winning endeavours. But you know, there's a day coming when every soul truly won to Christ will be gathered to him. In verse 9 of John 21, when the disciples had reached the shore, we discover there was a fire of coals and fish laid thereon, bread by the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus said to the disciples, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Verse 11, Simon Peter goes up, he draws the net to land full of great fishes, and we're told there was 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And in verse 12, the Lord Jesus said to them, come and die. The invitation to come and die. Now, it's interesting, and you can compare this for yourself with Luke chapter 5. Way back in Luke chapter 5, at the beginning of the Lord's ministry, when a great multitude of fishes was caught, no exact number is recorded. And on that occasion, the net did break. And one commentator likened this to the fact that in the visible church upon earth, there's a mixed multitude. There are some people and they've only an empty profession. Their others are truly seen. But someday every soul whom the Father hath given to the Son to be saved will be saved and gathered to Christ to be with him forever. John 17 and 12, the Lord Jesus said, none of them is lost. And here there's the exact number of fish given that were caught, 153. Some have suggested that this was one of every type of fish there in Galilee. I don't know, but certainly we can say in heaven there will be souls saved from out of every nation, kindred, and people and tongues. And they will sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We will dine with Christ. What a day to look forward to. That day when a great multitude which no man can number will be gathered to the Lord. And while no man can number them, the Lord can number them. He knows every one of his people. The Lord knoweth them that are his. He knows you if you're saved by his grace. Let us then, as the Lord's people, keep toiling. Keep witnessing, keep preaching, keep inviting, keep praying with that day in mind and with these thoughts in mind, that while often our endeavours to win souls seem to be unsuccessful, that the Lord can give success to our soul winning endeavours. And someday every soul for whom Christ died, every one given by the Father to the Son, will be saved, be gathered to be with the Lord. So may we pray that we might be, by God's grace, successful soul winners. And may we pray that others will be brought into the kingdom of God. May God bless his word to our hearts for his name's sake.